Well, very pleasant good evening to all of you assembled here tonight. Thank you for coming, as our Brother Steve has already said, as have been prayed in our prayer by Brother Spears. It is such a joy, it is such a delight, it should be for those of us who are children of God to come together with His people at any opportunity that we have, and hopefully our time spent together in study of God's Word will be helpful and beneficial to us. So we were singing that last song. Every time I sing that song, I think about Hebrews chapter 11 and all of the faithful men and women of old that are listed in that particular chapter. But even as you come on down toward the end of that chapter, the writer just begins to list those that were chained, those that were imprisoned, those that were sawn in two, all kinds of persecution and suffering that our brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone before us have experienced. And we don't even know many of their names. We know the names that are recorded for us in God's Word. But there's so many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, God knows the number, that have suffered extreme things to be a child of God and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, as we live in this life, and especially in this country, The things that we are experiencing right now, the suffering that we are undergoing, really is a drop in the bucket, I think, to what our brothers and sisters that have gone before us have suffered. Nonetheless, we ought to continue to have the kind of faith that they had. And that really is, I think, a good segue into our lesson this evening. If you have your Bible with you tonight, I would invite you to open to the Psalms, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 78 here in just a moment, so open to that particular Psalm, if you would, please. And as you're doing that, since the time that sin entered the world, as you go all the way back to almost the beginning of Scripture there at Genesis chapter 3, and the Bible tells us that Satan came in the form of a serpent, and he was more crafty than any other beast of the field, that he came up to Eve. And he began at that moment to question what God had said to Adam and Eve. And really, since that time that sin entered into the world, God's Word has been under assault. And mankind's faith in God's Word has been challenged. The devil said to Eve, "Is that really what God said?" And of course, Eve responded, and he began to go on and to try to put some doubt into her mind. And it obviously worked, because they gave in to what Satan was wanting them to do. They sinned against their great God. But ever since that time, our faith, those of us who are people of faith, has been challenged. I don't know about you, maybe some of you who are a little bit older may not be able to make this statement, but at least in my lifetime, neither the faith, as we think about that being the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, nor our personal faith as individual Christians or as a collective group of Christians, none of those two things has been attacked or challenged like it is being done right now. As we said yesterday in our sermon yesterday afternoon, not resist the devil and he will flee from you. All of us who are Christians always need to be on the alert for our own souls, and we need to be watching for our own souls right now, certainly. But I would suggest to you that we also need to be watchful for the souls of the younger generation among us. In short, all of us who would say that we are older than the younger generation, and especially those of us who are parents who have children still at home, we must counteract these attacks on and challenges to our children's faith by laying a firm foundation of faith in them so that they are equipped to withstand whatever assaults that they may be facing even now at this young age in their life, but certainly to equip them to face those assaults in the future. Those of you who are parents, and especially, again, with children still living at home right now, if you're like me, a lot of things that have been going on in our country the last few months have been concerning. Not so much for myself, but for my children. And I just wonder, what kind of world are they going to grow up in? What kind of United States of America? What will our country look like in 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now if we continue on the path that we have been on for a long time? And so for all of us, but this lesson is especially directed toward those of us who are parents, Because I believe parenting is a challenge in any time, even in the best of times. Parenting, in my opinion, in my estimation, is one of the most difficult jobs that God has given us to do. And yet, at the same time, it's one of the most rewarding. But our children are born into this world and they don't come with a manual. They don't come with a set of instructions that if they do this, then this is what we do. And if they do that, then this is how we respond. Even as we look at God's Word, God gives us, sure, a lot of principles, a lot of scriptural truths that we as parents, how we are to raise and to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of Him and His Word. But God doesn't oftentimes give us the specifics. And sometimes those of us who are parents, as we're dealing with a situation we never would have dreamed of, never would have thought of, we have to go back and we have to think about, how does God's Word relate to this particular situation? How do I apply this to my child to help them, to discipline them, to help them to grow? It is one of the most difficult jobs that God has given us to do in any time, but I believe especially in the times in which we are living now. And so to help us to equip the younger generation, what we want to do is to look at this opening section here of Psalm 78 that talks to us about the need for those of us who are a little bit older to pass the torch of faith on to our children. But not only to think about that from the positive standpoint, we're going to think at least for a little while this evening about the consequences if we decide as parents that we are not going to do that. So read with me here Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1, reading down through verse 8. The psalmist here says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." The psalmist begins talking to us here as we think in this greater context or greater thought this evening about passing that torch of faith on. He talks to us, I believe, here in the opening three verses about helping our children with perhaps one of the most important skills that they need to learn, not just in life, but especially as it relates to their relationship with God, and that is to help them to truly hear God. As was even prayed in our prayer, and again, Brother Steve mentioned as we opened our assembly this evening, our country, our world is just facing a whole multitude of problems, a whole multitude of challenges. We may not even be aware of what some of those are. Maybe there are other countries in this world that are facing different challenges to this particular time in history that we in the U.S. are not facing. We may be facing some specific or peculiar challenges that other people aren't facing. But at least in my opinion, one of the biggest problems facing our country, and yes, even facing those who claim to be the Lord's people right now, is our failure to hear one another. It is our failure sometimes to really listen to what someone else is saying. Most of us, because I guess maybe we're Americans, and because we have so many rights that so many people in other parts of the world do not, we just think it's kind of my right. And yes, we do have the freedom of speech, at least until this point. But many of us, I think, would just rather voice our thoughts and shout our opinions, whether that is face-to-face to someone, whether that's on social media, kind of hiding behind that curtain, whatever situation or circumstances is in, we would just rather shout our opinions and voice our thoughts about any number of current issues. You just take your pick. We'd rather tell someone else what we think about something rather than to take the time to truly listen to what someone else is saying. I mean, that's been going on in politics for a long, long time, hasn't it? But it is saturated, it is infiltrated, rather, our whole culture, I think. And we as a culture just really, we don't hone our listening skills. We don't use our listening skills as we should. But even more important than hearing one another is hearing God. And so the psalmist here in Psalm 78 first addresses those, again, who are parents, or at least those who are in the older generation, and he stresses to us our need for us to hear first. Notice what he says just in these three verses. He says the first word of Psalm 78 is listen. Don't talk. Listen. And I believe he's addressing this psalm to those who were adults, those who were older among the Israelites. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. And more than listen, he says that at the second part of that verse, verse 1, he says, incline your ears. You know, really tune in. Sometimes we can be listening. Somebody can be talking to us, and we hear somebody is talking to us, but we're really not processing what they're saying. We're really not taking that in. We're not taking it in to understand what they are saying. Maybe, as is the case for a lot of us when we're in a conversation with someone else, as they're talking, we're already thinking about how we're going to respond. Even if it's a very friendly, civil discussion, but especially if it's kind of a heated discussion about a heated current issue that is dividing people in our country, or even among those of us who are Christians, that we're formulating our response. We're thinking about our rebuttal to that, rather than thinking about what that person is truly saying to us. So the psalmist says to those of us, again, especially who are parents, we need to listen. We need to incline our ear to what God is saying. Verse 3, he says to this current generation of Israelites, as he was talking there in verse 2, he was going to open his mouth in a parable. He was going to utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard. He wants to remind those who are older, those who are adults among God's people, we heard these things when we were younger and known, and our fathers have told us. Our fathers communicated God's truth to us, and we listened to them. So parents, or anyone who has an influence upon the younger generation, are we ourselves, are we truly listening to God? Are we truly listening to God's Word? I'm sure a very familiar text to most in this audience this evening, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we usually use this passage to talk about our responsibilities as parents, and sometimes we really start this passage in verse 7 and read down through verse 9, and that's certainly an application. That's what Moses, before he dies, is wanting the people to make sure that they teach their children and instill God's truth in their children, but notice back to verse 4, I think he is talking here to the parents. And he says to them in verse 4, hear. Again, the first word out of his mouth, just like Psalm 78 in verse 1, listen, hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Before he ever gets to the instructions about how we are to be teaching our children when we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk by the way, at every point, every opportunity throughout the day, whatever activity we're involved in, we need to be teaching our children God and His Word and instilling that in them. Before he ever gets to that, he talks first, I think, to the parents, and he says to parents, your first instruction is to hear. You yourselves have to listen to God. So parents, how about it? There's lots of voices out there right now. Lots of different messages going 1,000 different ways. Parents, who are we listening to more right now? Who have we been listening to for these last few months? Have we been listening to the politicians more? Have we been listening to the medical experts? Have we been listening to the media? I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to listen to a politician giving a speech or talking about our current problems and challenges today, or it's wrong for us to seek medical advice, or it's wrong for us to turn on the news. But are we listening to people of the world more, or are we listening to God? Because if we as parents are not listening to God, how can we expect to help our children to truly hear Him? But assuming that we as parents, those in the older generation, that we are hearing God quite regularly, then we need to pass that critical skill on to our children. We need to be teaching them to listen, not so much to the world. We need to be teaching them to listen to God, to listen to His divine instruction, and to listen with a very critical ear. To listen with a view toward understanding what God says in His Word and toward applying what they hear from it. Just a couple of things that Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. If you turn there just very quickly in Matthew chapter 7, after Jesus has preached what I think is the greatest sermon that's ever preached by the greatest preacher, of course, that ever preached. But He has said so many things, covered so much territory here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Things that relate to every part of our life, every part of who we are, as He begins with the Beatitudes, the character that we need to have. This is the way Jesus concludes this great sermon in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The converse of that, of course, is found in verse 26. Everyone who, yes, hears these words of mine, but does not act on them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Both the wise and the foolish man heard the words. There was only one who really heard them. There was only one who had inclined their ear to God's instruction, and that was the wise man. He built his house upon a firm foundation. It was solid enough when the storms of life started to blow that it was not going to be destroyed. It was not going to be knocked over. It would stand. Our children are going to go through storms of life just like we as adults go through those. And there will come a point in their life when we won't be around. We may not be in the best of health to help them. They may be living in a totally different part of the country or the world in which we are living. It's not that easy. Maybe it kind of is with the communication that we have, but at least we can't have a face-to-face conversation with them. There will come a point when all of us as parents will pass away and our children will still be here. And they need to know, they need to be ready to withstand the storms that they will face, that the attacks, the assaults on their faith if they do grow up to be followers of Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus was telling these parables here related to the kingdom and trying to describe what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like, He says there, after telling that first parable, the parable of the sower at verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." As the disciples asked, "Why are you speaking to the multitudes in parables?" Jesus said this beginning at verse 14, "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes,'" talking to the disciples, "because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Hear then, as He begins to give an interpretation or an explanation of the parable in verse 18, "Hear," Jesus says, "then the parable of the sower." Notice how many times in those verses that we just read is the idea of hearing, listening. If you really have an open ear, you need to hear what I am saying to you with the view of not just storing all that information away in your head, but it doing something for you in your life, it changing you and making you into the kind of person that God wants you to be. How often Jesus said, "You need to hear. You need to listen." We might think that's a very insignificant skill to have. But it is a very, very important skill when it comes to the Word of God. So listening to the faith is critical to knowing and living the faith. Parents, again, who are we teaching our children to listen to the most? Is it what's on TV? Is it what's on social media? We have a few Echo Dots in our house. Is it listening to Alexa, what she has to say to you? Or are we teaching our children to listen first and foremost to God? In this time, any time, if we're going to successfully pass on the faith of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to make sure that our children and help them to have that skill of listening to God. Secondly, we need to be teaching and telling our children about God. Again, verses 4 through 6, and we won't take the time to read all of that again. But notice how often those two words, teach and tell, are mentioned here in these three verses. What is it that we who are older than the younger generation, we who are parents, what is it that we are to be teaching and telling the younger generation? Well, the psalmist gives us several things here in these three verses. You can look at those verses as we go through these. We need to be telling our children about God, very plain and simple. We need to be telling them that God is a good God. Again, our lesson yesterday afternoon, Satan will tell us a lot of lies about God. You know, he came to Eve there in the garden and said, did not God say you're not to eat of any tree or every tree of the garden? That's not what God had said. He was twisting God's words. He was trying to get Eve to question really the character of God, that God really doesn't care about you. God is not looking out for your best interests. And we need to tell our children that God is a good God. He's not just good when things are going well in our lives, but He is good all the time. We need to tell our children that God is a loving God, that God is a faithful God, that God is a forgiving God, that God is a jealous God, as we read that statement that God is jealous throughout the Old Testament, that God is a God of wrath, that God is also one who will punish. We need to be telling them all these things about the character of God, because I guarantee you the world is telling them the exact opposite. And that's true for any of us. Whether our children are going to public school, whether, like our family, they're homeschooled, whether they're going to private school, it doesn't matter. They're still hearing messages from the world. We need to tell them who God really is. We need to tell them, the psalmist says here at the end of verse 4, tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord. There's lots of different ways we can do that, but one way I think about it is we can just sit down and we could tell our children about the Psalms. Because so many Psalms are Psalms of praise to Jehovah God. And just read some of those. We may not necessarily understand all the imagery, because some of that, maybe those pictures are lost on us, and we may have to do some digging into what those things mean. But to tell our children of the praises of God, as the psalmist goes on to say here at the end of verse 4, to tell them about God's strength and God's wonderful works, to tell them the story of creation. The world is telling them we evolved. You know, we are here just by chance. But the Bible tells us in the beginning God created everything that exists. And to tell them those stories, those accounts from especially the Old Testament, how God parted the Red Sea and let His people go across on dry land, and then He collapsed that water on the greatest army on earth at that particular point. Tell them about God driving out Israel's enemies from the land of Canaan so that they could inherit that land that God had promised to them. We can use the Bible. Anna is using a book now with our kids. In fact, she read from it this morning at breakfast called Indescribable. She said she doesn't recommend the whole book, that it has some things that she disagrees with in there. But it's really just talking about all these amazing things out in the world that God has created. Just indescribable things. And trying to instill in our children that this is our great God. We need to tell our children about God's law and His commandments, as the psalmist continues here. We need to tell our children that God is the lawgiver, and God does have a standard, and God will hold us accountable to that. God has given us some instructions and commands that He wants us to live by, and those commands are really all for our good, as we read about in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it's verse 24. We need to tell our children about man's sin, that God is a good God. But God created us as people with free choice. And man has chosen time and time again to sin against our Creator. And that there is a punishment that God will enact upon us if we don't repent of our sins, that those sins will be punished even eternally. We need to talk to our children about our need then when we sin, when they sin, as they grow older and they sin against God, their need to repent and return to Him. To talk to our children and tell them about God's willingness to forgive. That over and over, you know, as you just read through the Psalms, the psalmist just tells us that message over and over. That God is abounding in loving kindness. You know, he's very slow to anger, slow to wrath. Yes, he does show anger and wrath from time to time, but he wants to be a loving and a kind God. He wants to be a merciful God and a forgiving God. We need to tell our children about salvation in Jesus Christ. The world would say, if they even believe in sin anymore, you know, there's lots of different paths, lots of different ways you can be saved, lots of different ways to God. But Jesus himself claimed, I am the way, and there is salvation in no other name. The Apostle Peter and John said back in Acts chapter 4, by which we must be saved. We need to talk to our children about heaven and hell, that this life isn't all there is. We're going to exist, and if we are Christians, faithful to the Lord, we're going to really live with Him in heaven for eternity. But if we're not His, we're going to exist in hell for eternity. And on this list could go. I've just given you a few things here. What we ought to, as parents, be telling and retelling our children, the younger generation, about the history of God's people. I know you probably all are thankful that we're not covering the whole psalm this evening, because it's 72 verses long. But if you take the time to read verses 9 through 72, really it's just a history lesson of God's people, the failures of God's people and the faithfulness of God. And that psalm talks to us about, it's kind of like during the period of Israel's history that we call the Judges. This psalm goes on to tell about that. It's just a continuous cycle of God blessing Israel, and then Israel rebelling against God, God punishing them for their rebellion, and then God forgiving them and showing them mercy, God sending them a deliverer. And that is just repeated. That was Israel's history. And the psalmist here was encouraging specifically these Israelites, you need to tell your children the good and the bad about God's people. Although, yes, we maybe have an advantage over these Israelites in the fact that we have the completed written form of God, written word of God today, there still, I believe, is great value in parents orally transmitting that truth to their children to explain its significance and its meaning. As we do that, parents, of course, if you've had children for very long, they will begin to ask questions. And, you know, even as a preacher, there's sometimes questions my children ask me, I just have to say, I don't know. Or I'll have to think about that or get back to you. But it's good when they ask questions, because that tells me they're thinking about spiritual things. I don't know about you, but at least one positive thing maybe that has come out of these last 6 months is really seeing our responsibility as parents to teach and to tell our children about God. I know you're not having Bible classes now. We went for a period, I don't know, 3 or 4 months without any classes in E-Town. And we were, the parents or the teachers of those classes were doing various things, sending materials home with our smaller kids. We were still, me and Anna still doing their workbooks with them. Some teachers doing classes on Zoom, just different things. And those were all good. Sometimes might be easy for us as parents before all this started to just think, well, that's why we send our kids to Bible class. You know, that's the local church's responsibility to teach our children about God. And certainly that is a big part of any work that is growing and thriving, is to teach the younger generation. But we as parents need to know for sure that, no, first it's my responsibility. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we as parents have to sit down and have an hour-long, in-depth discussion about some doctrinal point from the Word of God with our children every day. There's a variety of ways. That's why I have here on the screen, not only teaching our children, but telling our children. I think that's more of what I do, is telling our children. We, you know, have discussions when we're doing all kinds of things throughout the day. Maybe as they get a little bit older, we may have more in-depth discussions or studies. But I want you to notice this, something the psalmist said back in verse 4, at the very beginning of that verse, after he said that we have heard God's truth from our fathers because our fathers have told us. Then he says, we will not conceal them from their children. Listen to me. When we fail to tell our children of God, I think the psalmist is saying to us what we are doing in effect is concealing God from them. We don't have to be telling them lies. We don't have to be telling them something that is going to lead them astray from God. But if we just remain silent as parents, because again, the world that they are in, their friends, their teachers, all of the influences and people that they come in contact with at this point in their life and as they continue to grow older, they're going to be preaching their message. Satan is not going to conceal his message from our children. And so we as parents, we have to be teaching that message, because if we do not, we are doing a great disservice to them. We are concealing God from them. Teaching and telling our children about God will not only lay a foundation for their faith and strengthen their faith and impact them, but verse 6, the psalmist tells us it will also impact the faith of their children and their children and their children as long as this world still stands. I mean, I don't think about that hardly at all, just to be honest with you. I'm just thinking sometimes about that particular day, you know, with my children, trying to think more long-term about them, but I'm not really thinking about the things that I'm teaching them, that they're going to turn around and hopefully teach that to their children, and they're going to turn around and teach that to their children. But that's exactly right. We need to think about what we are teaching and telling our children and do that. And if we will do that, verse 7 of Psalm 78 gives us some positive results. When we are teaching and telling our children the faith, it will hopefully produce some great results in their life. Hopefully it will put their confidence in God, that they will grow up and not trust in man's words. They will not trust in man's wisdom, but they will trust in God's wisdom. Hopefully, as we do this with our children as they're growing up in our homes, that they will remember God's works, that they won't be so impressed with all the things that man has done and man has built, but they will be more impressed with what God does. And thirdly, he says there at the end of verse 7 that they will keep God's commandments, that they will be children who grow up to be adults who will be obedient to God's laws first and foremost over man's laws. You know, I don't want to get into this whole discussion, but there's been a lot of talk even among Christians about, you know, what constitutes a law, and do we have to obey all those laws and all that kind of thing. I tell you, that's one of the discussions. Sometimes I just have to say, I don't know. I have my own thoughts and beliefs and opinions about that. But if our country continues heading the way it's heading, there are going to be a lot more laws that our lawmakers pass that are going to be in opposition to God's law. And our children are going to have to choose. And we need to make sure that we're telling them and teaching them enough about God and His Word so that they will choose to keep God's commandments first. Because if we are not doing this, parents, there are some negative consequences that I believe the psalmist gives us here at verse 8. They are surely going to repeat the sins of previous generations. They're going to end up in the same spiritual shape that Israel found itself in many times. They're going to grow up to be people who are stubbornly doing their own will rather than God's will. They're going to be people who are rebelling against God's authority. They're going to be people who are faithless inside and out. A generation, as the psalmist says there in verse 8, that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. I think we're seeing a lot of, you know, rebellion against God being openly displayed in our culture right now. Again, we may think of it as those people out there rioting and the defund the police and all of that, that they're really rebelling against the authorities of this country. But I would say to you, they're really rebelling against God's authority. They don't want to have anybody to tell them what to do. They want to live life their way. And we find that's exactly what happened with Israel. Over in the book of Judges, we're almost done here. One of my children in driving over here from the Masons this evening says, "Daddy, is it going to be short?" Shorter than yesterday anyway. I said, "I hope so." But we're going to get out of here on time this evening. Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. We know, I think, hopefully this passage well enough that Joshua and all the elders of his generation died, and the Israelites served the Lord faithfully during that time. But notice verse 10, the writer says that all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which He had done for Israel. Doesn't that sound like what the psalmist is trying to get God's people to do back there in Psalm 78? Teach your children about God. Teach your children to know God. Teach your children to know His wonderful works. But here was a generation, for whatever reason, they didn't know God. They forgot what He had done. And verse 11 follows that up with, then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord. To the point where we come down to verse 15, the anger of the Lord is against them. And the writer here makes a comment about that generation, that wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken and as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed. This is where Israel went as a whole. That this new generation rose up and they were stubbornly going to do their own will. They were not going to follow God's will anymore. They were not going to submit themselves to God's authority anymore. Now they had forsaken Him. They had thrown God out. And they were going after false gods. And they became a generation that was very faithless when the generation of Joshua and his people that lived there, his contemporaries, was a very faithful generation. Brothers and sisters, those who are older again than the younger generation, those of us who are parents, Psalm 78 teaches us that the Word of God must continue to be taught and told from generation to generation. Because if even just one generation of God's people stops doing that, if one generation of parents who are Christians stops doing that, there is going to be this spiritual generation gap. And it will not be very long until God's people, following the footsteps of Israel, it won't be very long until God's people just forsake Him altogether. The world is coming very hard at our children. It's very sad. But it's up to those of us who are parents and adults and preachers and shepherds in local flocks and Bible class teachers. It's up to us to make sure that we are teaching and telling them about God. If you're not a Christian this evening, you have a perfect opportunity to change your relationship with God, to change your spiritual status with Him. As we're about to sing this song that has been selected as a song of invitation this evening, number 640. It may be we haven't really said anything in our lesson this evening about what you need to do to become a Christian, but perhaps the words that you've heard this evening, maybe things you've been thinking about for weeks or for months, have pricked your heart to the point that you are ready to follow Jesus Christ tonight. And if you made that decision, don't let that just be a decision in your mind, but act upon that decision and say, tonight is the night that I'm going to begin my journey following Jesus Christ. Jesus told us very plainly in the Gospels, it's not going to be an easy journey. He said, if anyone wants to come after me, he has to take up his cross daily. He has to deny himself, and he has to come, and he has to follow me. But the reward of doing that will more than outweigh all of the things that we may experience and suffer in this life for being a child of God, a follower of His Son. If you've made that decision this evening, even if you're a young person, there's not a better time, not a better place to act upon that decision to follow Jesus Christ. You can come this evening, confess your faith that you truly do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and repent of your sins. And this very evening you can be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. And you can come out clean and devote the rest of your life, however long or short it is, to knowing more about God, to knowing Him. and to being more impressed with who He is and what He does, and to tell others that good news message as well. Whatever your need might be, if we can help you in some way, we would encourage you to respond to His invitation as we stand and sing.